There are many different types of testing available for learning-related issues. Where and why you seek testing for your child will determine who evaluates your child, which tests are administered, how results are interpreted and communicated to you, what findings and recommendations follow, and the total amount of time and costs involved in the process. In this episode, I'm going to discuss a few different types of private learning evaluations, as well as some other factors that you may want to keep in mind when choosing the most appropriate option for your child. This is the Individual Matters Podcast. I'm Andrew Caton. The following information is intended to provide parents with an overview of some of the types of learning evaluations. When parents initially reach out with concerns about their child's learning, the process and options can feel overwhelming, especially if you're at the beginning of this journey. It may be difficult to wrap your head around what's available, what's needed, which providers can help, how testing works, and even the names and terminology used. Please keep in mind that this is a huge topic, so in the interest of time, I just want to provide an overview to help you sort some of this out. I'm planning a follow-up episode with Dr. Caton, clinical psychologist. She's my wife and co-owner of Individual Matters, to dive into the details and other nuances of learning evaluations. So stay tuned for that. All right, grab a pencil and paper. You may want to take notes and re-listen to this episode. And as always, you can find more information on our website, individualmatters.org. Okay, why are you seeking an evaluation? Answering this question is the first and arguably the most important step in the evaluation process. What are your desired outcomes for testing? And do you know? Are you hoping to understand your child's gifts? Would you like to help your child understand his or her temperament? Are you concerned about their academic performance, how they're doing in school, their grades? Do you think your child may have a learning or attention disorder? Are you feeling uneasy about your child's emotional, social, or behavioral functioning? How they make friends and relate to others, whether at school or at home or in extracurricular activities? Do they have a tendency for anger or irritability or emotional dysregulation? Are there indications of anxiety or depression, processing differences, language or fine motor weakness, or maybe signs and symptoms of autism spectrum disorder, etc.? These are just a few questions. Has your school or pediatrician recommended testing? Has your child already been tested, and are there any diagnoses? Did the school test your child, and are they currently on an IEP or 504 plan? Did you receive testing, maybe privately, but you're unclear about the findings? Or were told by the school that these findings do not demonstrate the criteria for eligibility for school services? So as you might guess, there are all sorts of reasons that parents consider having their children tested. But by asking questions such as the ones I just mentioned and outlining your goals and doing research up front, you're going to have a clearer idea about what type and scope of evaluation is most appropriate for your child. And this potentially can save you a lot of time, money, and headache, as well as heartache. In addition to our website, you might check out understood.org. That organization provides free information related to learning and evaluations and child development in general. So as I've already said, this is a complex and nuanced subject with lots of information that seems to be rarely aggregated into one reliable source. Now, we've been doing this for years, and I still often wonder and scratch my head over the struggles that a parent starting out on this journey is going through in order to get good information and make good decisions. It's a lot to digest. So do your research, meet with providers, talk with other parents, ask lots of questions, make sure that you feel good or at least are as clear as can be about why you need an evaluation, what you're after, and what type of eval would be most appropriate for supporting that. Okay, who should conduct a learning evaluation? This is not a simple answer or a simple question to answer. There are many types of professionals that administer learning assessments, and I use air quotes around that because there are many different types of learning assessments, but they often have very different qualifications. Some may be psychologists, others are educators or school psychologists or educational consultants, and to complicate the matter, professional credentials and licensure vary by state. And for that matter, so do the ways that schools classify and address learning issues. And as I mentioned in an upcoming episode, I'm going to talk with Dr. Caton about the differences between educational or school-based testing and classifications and clinical testing and diagnoses. These are very, very different processes with very different purposes and results. And in talking with parents on the phone, I find that many parents do not realize or understand these distinctions. So stay tuned for that episode. But regardless where you live, a clinical psychologist, meaning a psychologist with their doctorate, either a PhD or a PsyD, has the educational prerequisites for conducting learning or psychoeducational testing and issuing clinical diagnoses. But not all psychologists specialize in testing. Some only provide therapy, while others work mostly in the area of mental health. Most psychologists do not specialize in child neurodevelopment, learning, and related assessment. Therefore, any professional, whether or not they're a psychologist, who provides psychoeducational testing should have not only the minimal education and credentials, they should also have specialized training and experience in child evaluation. And so many people don't realize that even within the cadre of doctoral level psychologists, evaluation, let alone educational evaluation, is a very narrow specialty. It's a niche. Many psychologists may have taken only one class in graduate school in assessment, and throughout their entire career, may never administer a learning evaluation. So just because someone is a psychologist does not mean they are an expert in testing or specifically child neurodevelopment and learning. Also, schools and colleges will typically only accept diagnoses and recommendations from a clinical psychologist. These institutions will look for the administration of gold standard instruments, standardized tests produced, maintained, and protected by reputable companies and backed by years of scientific research. For example, the gold standard of cognitive functioning or IQ assessment is the Wechsler scales, either the WISC, which is the Wechsler Intelligence Scale for Children, or the WPSI, which is the Wechsler Preschool and Primary Scale of Intelligence, or the WACE, the Adult Intelligence Scale for Adults. K through 12 schools sometimes use these measures, but more often they use screeners or classroom performance-based measures that only provide estimates of cognitive ability. So just to recap, an evaluator's credentials as well as the actual test battery matter. K through 12 schools, colleges, and entrance exam companies typically have specific requirements for what they will accept. And as I mentioned, not all providers have the same education or expertise with evaluation, nor can most of them diagnose. All right, next, what type of learning evaluation will you need? And depending on your goals, there are a variety of options. I'm going to talk about comprehensive psychoeducational evaluation, learning disability evaluations, and ADHD evaluations, which may not be technically learning evaluations, but the overlap is common, and I feel like it would be helpful just to share how those differ from some of the other types. All right, first, comprehensive psychoeducational evaluation. What is that? This is a wide-ranging but also in-depth approach to understanding your child as a whole person. That's why they're comprehensive. They assess neurological processes and cognitive functioning, so IQ, attention, memory, processing speed, executive function, etc., as well as academic achievement, so skills in math, reading, and writing. Furthermore, because this evaluation is comprehensive, it can look at visual motor integration, sensory processing, social and emotional functioning, visual and auditory processing, behavior, temperament and personality, gifts and strengths, learning styles, overexcitabilities or OEs, interests, life experience, and they can offer diagnoses for developmental disorders. So that's a lot. A skilled evaluator will be adept not only at administering the actual tests, but also at analyzing and integrating the results, which include both quantitative and qualitative data, such as test observations. Essentially, this process should produce a cohesive operating manual that explains your child's overall functioning. Since it evaluates multiple facets of your child and not just learning, this process also helps with differential diagnosis, which is teasing out the behavioral symptoms of one particular issue from another. These evals generate specific recommendations and they can guide the referral process. So ultimately, comprehensive psychoeducational testing should end the guessing game and provide conclusive answers about why and how your child thinks and acts as they do. If done correctly, these whole child evaluations are not focused only on problems or what is wrong with your child. Again, I use that phrase in air quotes. But instead, emphasize strengths, learning styles, ways of being, as well as identifying areas of challenge that can be understood and explained to the child and those who work with the child and mitigated across the child's schooling and beyond. These comprehensive evals also eliminate the need for separate follow-up assessments of learning, attention, autism spectrum disorder, etc., because they include all of these under the umbrella of one evaluation. As I said, it's a very cohesive process, and each measure builds upon the other. Comprehensive psychoeducational evaluation is our specialty out of Individual Matters, and you can find lots of other information, including how the process works and the costs, on our website. Now let's talk about learning disabilities testing. This type of evaluation is narrower in scope than comprehensive evaluation, and it's appropriate for the purpose of assessing and diagnosing a suspected learning disorder. A clinical psychologist with training in education and evaluation can administer measures of IQ and academic achievement. Again, that's reading, writing, and math, as well as other questionnaires to understand how a child's academic skills compare to those of other children at their grade level, as well as to their own intellectual abilities. And this is where things get complicated. If the child's academic skills are commensurate with their grade level, they will not likely be identified by the school as having a learning disability. On the other hand, if their academic skills are significantly weaker than expected, given their measured IQ, and they have a history of intervention and challenge in this area, a clinical psychologist may diagnose them with a learning disorder, even if their skills are at grade level. So twice exceptional or 2E kids often fall into the category of these students, with academic skills that are normal for their current grade placement. So they're similar to their grade level peers, but their skills are much weaker than their intellectual abilities due to a learning disorder. And this difference can affect performance, behavior, self-esteem, and if it's not diagnosed, students may begin to wonder why they're struggling and perhaps assign or adopt incorrect or harmful assumptions. It's important that they differentiate their learning challenges or learning disorders from poor ability or some personal flaw. Again, look for more about this in a follow-up podcast episode with Dr. Caton, where she'll dive into in more detail the differences between educational testing and classifications and clinical testing and disorders and that discrepancy model between cognitive ability and academic skills and how that matters in different settings. But a key takeaway here is that a learning disorder in reading, writing, or math, which are often known as dyslexia, dysgraphia, or dyscalculia, should never be identified from an academic screener alone. A well-done learning evaluation really should include a measure of both IQ and academic skills. And a clinical psychologist can administer these measures and issue a clinical diagnosis. While other providers may offer assessments or screeners that identify the likelihood of a learning disorder, such as dyslexia, or identify levels of learning in each subject, which may yield detailed and useful information, these do not result in diagnoses. And as a result, schools and testing boards may not accept the findings. Okay, last, let's talk about ADHD evaluation. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, is a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by significant problems with inattention, hyperactivity, impulsivity, and inconsistency that interfere with functioning and development. Individuals with ADHD typically struggle to regulate their focus and self-control and emotions, as well as to shift from one activity, situation, or strategy to the next. In terms of cognitive processes, skills, and behaviors, ADHD overlaps closely with executive functioning disorder. However, while ADHD is a clinical diagnosis, executive functioning disorder is not. So who can diagnose ADHD? Ideally, ADHD evaluation and diagnosis is conducted by a psychologist or neuropsychologist who specializes in ADHD and related disorders. These providers can complete an in-depth assessment that utilizes standardized neuro measures to fully understand and characterize the unique strengths and struggles of the child. ADHD can also be screened and diagnosed by a psychiatrist, pediatrician, family physician, and therapist or counselor. While teachers, school psychologists, school counselors, language therapists, and OTs may be qualified to identify signs and symptoms of ADHD or to begin a conversation with parents, they do not issue the clinical diagnosis. So schools may identify a student as eligible for special services with a classification of ADHD, but they do not diagnose ADHD. There is no single test for ADHD, and a diagnosis should not be issued based on one source of information. Ideally, ADHD evaluation includes standardized questionnaires, clinical observation, and neuropsychological measures of attention, impulsivity, hyperactivity, and consistency. In addition, at Individual Matters, we also include measures of development and/or cognitive ability, or IQ, because this information is essential to understanding the child's unique operating system, and because it supports differential diagnosis. Again, that's teasing out symptoms of ADHD from other disorders or problems that may look the same behaviorally. Now let's talk about the costs of evaluations. Just as the types and scopes of testing vary, so do the costs. Some learning professionals and tutors provide learning assessments or screeners for as little as $300 or $400. And depending on the provider, the test battery, time to complete, findings and recommendations can vary by a great amount. Now, depending on the reason for testing and the purpose behind the testing, this lower cost can be tempting and it may be appropriate. But again, keep in mind that unless completed by a doctoral level clinical psychologist, these screeners and assessments do not provide a clinical diagnosis. And this can affect whether the results are accepted by schools. But again, this is something that you as a parent want to identify and be clear about before you start an evaluation with any provider. Do your research, ask questions, talk to other parents, talk to your primary care provider, meet with evaluators, and make sure that you are getting what you need. Evaluations conducted by schools may be more extensive than a private screener, but schools do not diagnose learning disorders, ADHD, or even autism. Schools may assess learning and related issues like dyslexia and can determine eligibility for special education services based on a classification of specific learning disability, but only psychologists and medical doctors diagnose clinical or medical disorders. Again, this is kind of confusing, and we'll get into this in a later episode, but a school-based specific learning disability is different from a clinical diagnosis of a specific learning disorder. Furthermore, school evaluations are not intended to assess your child as a whole person, only whether he or she has a condition that affects functioning in the classroom. Since educational classifications and the resulting accommodations are based on your child's current grade level and classroom functioning, they may not be pertinent a year from now, or if your child changes schools or districts. Comprehensive psychoeducational evaluations conducted by doctoral-level clinical psychologists typically vary in cost from $1,000 to $5,000 and sometimes even more. The entire process can involve 5 to 10 hours of face-to-face testing, as many as 20 hours of scoring and analysis, and an extensive and detailed written report, sometimes 15 to 25 pages, as well as a feedback session with parents to go over the results. Another question that often comes up is whether to use insurance or self-pay for evaluations. Way back in 2016, we penned a blog post called Insurance or Private Pay that outlines the pros and cons of each method. And I suggest you check that out on our website. In our experience, insurance companies typically do not cover learning evaluations because they are not deemed medically necessary. But again, everyone's situation is unique, and there are lots of factors to consider here. As a parent, you justifiably want to ensure that whoever evaluates your child can deliver outcomes that support your specific goals for testing. How do you do this? Well, the first step is to clarify those goals, if you can. If you're unsure, that's okay too. But either way, you want to do a lot of research. Call the provider offices and inquire about their evaluation types. Ask if they specialize in child learning and neurodevelopment, and if they issue clinical diagnoses or just scores and analysis. Ask about their credentials. Are they an educator? Are they a psychologist? Are they a clinical psychologist? And do they have expertise in child neurodevelopment? Some offices will provide this basic information over the phone. Another option is to schedule an initial consultation with a clinical psychologist who specializes in evaluation. During this meeting, you can ask the professional about his or her background and scope of expertise. You can also find out what specific tests they use, whether they issue clinical diagnoses, and if their findings can and will be accepted by your child's school. You might also inquire about their overall philosophy towards assessment, learning, and ADHD. In other words, how do they approach testing and why? The psychologist may also be willing to review records and results of previous testing at that consultation to provide clarification. Even if you decide not to go forward with an evaluation, an experienced evaluation psychologist can provide answers to your questions and offer you a roadmap of considerations, options, and resources. They may refer you to other providers, such as speech-language pathologists or occupational therapists, if these assessments are more urgent. Ultimately, you should leave the consultation feeling more knowledgeable and confident to make the right decisions for your child. So that's a general overview of three types of learning evaluations. This is not clinical or medical advice, so as I've already said, do your research and talk to lots of people. As always, feel free to reach out to Individual Matters for information or to schedule a consultation with Dr. Caton to find out what type of evaluation may be best for supporting your child's learning, development, and overall happiness and well-being. That's it from us today. As always, you can find more information as well as resources on our website, individualmatters.org. We hope you'll join us at the next podcast episode, where we'll continue to explore topics around successful living, learning and education, and child development and share ways to help you live a more positive and fulfilling life.